Buckeye Extra is brought to you by the Columbus Springs Hospitals, changing people's lives by providing addiction and mental health treatment for adults, adolescents, and children through two Columbus-based hospitals and an outpatient service clinic. Columbus Springs Hospitals. There's hope. There's help. For full information, visit hopeincolumbus.com. Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Tim May and Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, football fans of all ages. This is Tim May along with
Bill Rabinowitz.
Bill, bottom line, Ohio State's in the midst of its summer conditioning drills. The Ohio State coaches are putting on camps left and right for basically wannabe Buckeyes and dreamers, etc. They had a pretty productive camp the other day. They're going to have a couple more of those one-man or those one-day camps where high schoolers get to come in and show their wares and maybe attract the attention of a college or two. Then, of course, Friday Night Lights is coming up on June the 22nd, which kind of had to be accelerated due to new NCAA rules about camps, etc. But bottom line is things are humming here in the summer, but that's not what I want to talk about. I mean, as we sit here in June, the middle of June, what's this offense going to look like now under Dwayne, under probably the leadership of Dwayne Haskins Jr. And sort of a new, I don't know, emphasis maybe on the passing game. And that's what I wanted to explore with you today. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's the offense is going to look different. I did a radio interview earlier today, and they asked me about that. And I said, they're not going to change the playbook. It's still Ohio State's offense, but they're going to emphasize different things. You're going to see, I would expect, more downfield passing with Dwayne Haskins' arm. You're going to see less Dwayne Haskins on third and five in an empty backfield running for a first down, I think. There'll be handoffs in that situation or short passes, and it'll look different. Look, Urban Meyer is a competent coach. Any competent coach is going to play to the strengths of their players. Dwayne Haskins' strength is as a passer, not as a runner. He can run. He showed in the Michigan game on that one scramble. He can do it, but that you don't want to expose him too often to runs and the contact and then getting hurt and all that stuff. And they have so many weapons around them. You have two great running backs with J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber. You have all the receivers back. There's no reason to have him run more than just to kind of give the defense something to think about and make sure that they respect that option. What do you think?
Well, number one, calling Urban Meyer a competent offensive coach is interesting. Considering they've led the Big Ten in offense, it seems like almost every year.
I don't want to be thought of as a homer and be over the top with my praise.
Well, that's not being over the top if, in fact, you say they lead they're the most prolific offense in the Big Ten over the last 6 years. But I see where you're going there. Bottom line is, competency to me, though, also means you do the best with what you've got. And, you know, we all saw the great experiment in 2015. That's what I called it because, you know, I know that supposedly Cardale Jones had a better preseason camp than JT Barrett did when JT Barrett was coming back from his injury. But, you know, they wanted a little bit different look to that offense, the same look they'd had going through the playoffs after JT Barrett had gotten hurt, and under Cardale Jones, I'm talking about an over-the-top, big-time passing game complemented by a power running game, and or vice versa. And it really didn't work out for him. And I don't see this really going in that direction. What I see, and like you pointed out just a minute ago, boy, you know, when Dwayne Haskins Jr. is on, and we've seen him on many times, he is pinpoint with his passing. And that's a little bit of alliteration there, but it's absolutely accurate. And that's a little bit of a pun there following up on that. But the bottom line is he can hit guys on the run. I think he throws an incredibly nice deep ball. He's not afraid to pull the trigger and throw it into, like, narrow windows, narrow openings.
Right.
And I think that just gives this offense a little bit more of a different feel even before we ever see him really take the field. And then on top of that, Tate Martell is a different quarterback than Dwayne Haskins Jr. or JT Barrett or Cardale Jones. He is more of a playmaker who can make you miss anywhere on the field, create something. I think they're – I'm not going to say they're torn. I think – I think you pretty much know who their starting quarterback is, number one quarterback is going into camp, but you just definitely get the idea that Tate Martell is going to challenge big time for that job. But what he's also going to do is prove he probably deserves to play. And like I've been saying all along, and you have too, you just get the idea they're going to have packages, a package or two for Tate Martell no matter what.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And first of all, they want to get him experience, if nothing else. They don't want, if God forbid something happens to Dwayne Haskins, to have somebody have to play in a meaningful game without any kind of experience. So it makes sense. You know, Tate Martell, I mean, the closest comparison, it's not a perfect one, the closest one of the Ohio State quarterbacks in recent times, I think it's Braxton Miller, just from the way that he can elude runners, can make guys look silly. Different kind of passers.
Agreed.
Different kind of passers, obviously, but just that make something out of nothing factor that Braxton Miller had that was just unbelievable. I watched, in fact, a little highlight tape of Braxton on YouTube last week or something. It just happened to pop up, and I thought, oh, a couple of those moves were, like, incredible. And, you know, we haven't seen Tate Martell do that, but we've heard that Tate Martell has done that. His practices are basically closed to us, but that's kind of what the players say, that sometimes he's untackable. You just can't get your hands on him. So it'll be interesting to see, I think, in the red zone in certain situations, that would be an area where they might use Tate Martell. I think they'll spot him in certainly games that are not that close. They're going to give him as much time as they can. It's an intriguing option, and Tate Martell didn't get to be where he is right now by just kind of taking the back seat and saying, okay, I'll wait my turn. He's a guy in a hurry, and they want to keep him engaged, and I think they will. And then, look, there are going to be some games early in the year that Tate Martell should get plenty of playing time.
Yeah. You know, before we go any further, I'd like to bring in a message from our sponsor, Columbus Springs Hospitals. You know, with two hospitals and an outpatient services clinic, Columbus Springs Hospitals is helping to change people's lives every day. With skilled counselors, compassionate caregivers, they provide effective patient treatment in addiction and mental health for adults, adolescents, and children. Visit ColumbusSprings.com today and find out more about each of their locations. There's hope, there's help at Columbus Springs Hospitals. You know, and with that said, we definitely appreciate their support. And back to what you were saying about Tate Martell, though, where I would argue for him also is, I believe Tate Martell is a much more proficient, in fact, that's the correct term, passer than Braxton Miller was definitely at this stage. I think he understands offense and defense, how to attack with the offense. I mean, he's very much a student of the game. And, if you had to select a quarterback to be the quarterback for your movie you're making about college football or something, it would be Dwayne Haskins Jr., just because he looks the part, 6'3", 6'4", stands up and throws the ball over the top. But Tate Martell is the guy, if you're having a Prison Break movie or something like that, you would choose Tate Martell. And that's the way I look at it. I think it's an interesting situation for Ohio State and for Urban Meyer because, like I just said a while ago, I don't think there's a conundrum about who their number one quarterback is going into preseason camp. But I think there is the idea that Tate Martell needs to see the field, but there's also the idea that they've got to get him ready because he is the backup quarterback and he hasn't played, just like you were talking about.
Yeah, and the difference between Tate Martell and Braxton Miller, for example, Braxton Miller was thrust into the starting job way before he was ready. He didn't have a redshirt year to kind of wait. Tate Martell did. I think he learned a lot. I think he matured a lot in that redshirt year. He knows the offense now. I mean, you remember Braxton Miller, that one Illinois game. He completed one pass. Ohio State completed one pass in that game, a touchdown pass. And so you think about how far the offense has come. It's light years, obviously. It's going to be interesting to see how the quarterback situation plays out, although I think we know who the starter is, but I think people do have to prepare themselves that Dwayne Haskins is going to have growing pains. We haven't seen him a ton. He's only played in limited action because even last year they did want to get Joe Burrow a little bit of action. So he wasn't always the guy that came in when JT Barrett left the game obviously the Michigan game was the most extended action, but we remember the Illinois game where he had the fumble that Illinois returned for a touchdown, and it didn't matter, it was a blowout, but the coaches remember, and they were on him about that, and so there are going to be some growing pains with Dwayne Haskins. It's just natural, but you see the talent, and you just kind of go, wow. I mean, it's such a cliche to say the sky's the limit. I roll my eyes whenever I hear that because you hear it so often, but with this guy, I think that's a pretty accurate description.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. Like you said, you know, let's just touch base real quickly on the rest of the offense. Two running backs who've each rushed for 1,000 yards in a season on different seasons. J.K. Dobbins, in my opinion, they're, you know, still the guy to get to be beaten out at that position, but they're going to play Mike Weber, definitely. Mike Weber, boy, had those breakaway runs against Michigan State just elevated him in his own mind, much less in their minds, and now he's a, you know, he had by far the best run in the spring game, you know, that people, when you look back to that, and so, you know, you got two lethal guys at running back, but, you know, and then the hybrid back situation. Obviously, Jalen Gill, a kid coming in from Westerville, he's going to get a pretty good look, I think, early, just because he has definitely some skills that they would like to see on the field at some point. But I still believe one of the more lethal weapons in college football in 2018, Paris Campbell, I'm not sure he's ever going to be that downfield, over-the-top catch threat like he would like to be and they would like him to be. But Paris Campbell on a drag route over the middle and then turning it up,
right.
or Paris Campbell on a swing route and then turning it up the sidelines, is about as lethal a weapon as you're going to see in college football this year, and they're going to play off that. I mean, you know, I'm just interested in seeing how the other receivers like Terry McLaurin, you know, is Benjamin Victor going to finally step up and be that consistent guy? And, of course, Austin Mack, you know, I saw him the other day at the one-day camp, and he looks bigger and stronger than he's ever been, and we all know what he did in that Michigan game. You know, we people want to gush about the pass Dwayne Haskins Jr. threw, but the catch that Austin Mack made on the other end of that was really what got it going, just like with Devin Smith and Cardale Jones against Wisconsin. I mean, that was a tremendous catch in traffic where he got whacked, and man, if they get their wide receiver core on track, it could be an interesting year, to say the least.
No question. You know, Paris Campbell is so dynamic with the ball in his hand. The question, the issue is keeping the ball in his hand. He's had some drops. He's a converted running back, and sometimes last year he still looked like a converted running back in terms of catching the ball. I'm sure he's worked on that very hard the offseason. If he can be a consistent pass catcher and not have those drops, boy, that's an incredible weapon. The other guy that's very intriguing, and you don't know exactly what role he's going to have, maybe mainly on special teams, is DeMario McCall. Because you see when he's healthy how dynamic he is. He's just so elusive and so shifty. And that's a nice change of pace threat for them. Paris Campbell's mainly pure speed. I mean, he's got moves, but it's like whoosh. DeMario McCall is so shifty, and you know, we didn't even mention K.J. Hill. I mean, there are other guys that they have, and there was a tight end. The tight end is going to be a very interesting spot. I'm very intrigued. Well, maybe the most, to me, is Jeremy Rucker, the freshman who's coming in. You know, he's supposedly the pass-catching tight end that Ohio State has always wanted and not really had. But you also have Jake Farrell, you have Rashad Berry. It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, the thing about Jeremy Rucker, he reminds me physically of Jake Stoneburner, and they finally figured out a few things with Jake Stoneburner, but never really committed to that, what I'd call that consistent use of the tight end in the passing game. I think you're going to see more of that because it just opens things up. But, you know, as we sit here and talk, and we talk about the wide receivers they've got, and we talk about the running backs they've got, the hybrid backs they've got, you know, only one guy can have the ball in his hands or receive the ball or get the handoff per play. And it'll be interesting, like you just said, I think this offense will be able to attack defenses in five or six lethal ways this year. That's what I'm looking at. I mean, I just see options there with, for the most part, people who are seasoned. Even Dwayne Haskins Jr., like we said, has been in the fray. I mean, he brings the team back, rallies the team to victory at Michigan. But just the people around him, he, you know, the Luke Farrell at tight end, and then, like you said, Jeremy Ruckert, and then at the wide receiver core, all those guys have played except for Ruckert. But we all know that they can figure out ways to get Ruckert into the mix. But I just see as well-rounded an attack formation, for want of another word, as Urban Meyer's had in his six previous years at Ohio State.
Yeah, but it's all predicated on one thing, which is the offensive line playing like Ohio State's used to having their offensive lines play. And they have to replace two key starters. And Billy Price, obviously a first-round pick.
Wait a minute, Bill? I want you to hold that thought, because we're going to come back next week and talk extensively about the offensive line. I mean, I think that's
going to be our tease.
I think that, okay. I don't know if tease is the right word, more of a wedge. But the bottom line is we are going to come back and talk about that. You know, and before we go, I just want people to know that our would like to thank our sponsor, Columbus Springs Hospitals, because with two hospitals and an outpatient services clinic, Columbus Springs Hospitals is helping to change people's lives every day. With skilled counselors and compassionate caregivers, they provide effective patient treatment in addiction and mental health for adults, adolescents, and children. Visit ColumbusSprings.com today and find out more about each of their locations. There's hope, there's help at Columbus Springs Hospitals. But yes, that was, for want of another word, a tease, because we'll be bringing these to you once a week through the summer as Ohio State gears up. I mean, Ohio State once again projected to be a contender for a possible college football playoff berth, definitely a contender for another Big Ten championship, and one of the major reasons why is going to be its offense. You agree, Bill?
It will have to be. Yeah, no question about it. And I think, as you said, as we talked about, there's so much depth on this offense. It's just a matter of finding the right, the round peg for the round hole, and making sure that everyone knows their role, and getting the inexperienced players comfortable. But in terms of talent and depth, there are very few questions about this offense.
Yeah, as my dad once told me one time about electricity, you know, son, you can always plug a two-prong plug into a three-prong hole, but you can't plug a three-prong plug into a two-prong hole. So that's what they're kind of looking for.
Wise man, Mr.
Yes.
May.
Yeah, he knew a lot of things. He was a chemical engineer. Hey, but until next time, this is Tim May.
And Dora Benoit. Thanks for listening.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.